I wonder how many people have sampled music from
they
me.
They sampled the shit out of me.
You ever had someone sample and didn't call and didn't follow up or nothing?
Yeah. French Montana. Yeah, that pop that
song. Shots fired!
Oh, yeah, pop that.
Yeah, I'm like, hold on. Puff Daddy was like, yeah, we want you to come and be in this video. You know, I ain't on every scene, you feel me? And so they were like, yo, come on by and do the video. I'm like, nah, I'm good. You know, now we got Wayne, we got Drake, we got all these people here and everything. And I was like, I don't give a fuck. You know, right. It's just not my vibe.
Right.
You know, they all cool people, you know, but I don't just move like that because somebody is someplace. And we'll send a jet and all that. No, I don't need no jets and all that. Long story short, after the video was shot, then it was all these articles. I guess they had the press set up. Uncle Luke and French Montana and Drake and Wayne and all them. And then I'm like, I don't know nothing about this song. So people start hitting me. I was like, I don't know what that is.
Right.
You know, and that was, you know, then it became a little, as if it was a little beef. And I was like, yo, bro, I don't have beef with nobody.
Did French Montana look out? Like, did they cut you a check? Did he cut you a check?
No, I ain't want no check. I ain't want no check.
Why not?
If it was done the right way, yeah, you will negotiate, you know, through people, but I don't want checks like that.
Right.
Yeah, I just let people have shit.
All money ain't good money.
I was about to say.
Right, did you party with Diddy a lot?
Oh, no, not really. I would go to the party and leave early.
Why wouldn't you stay? Right?
I go to the party and leave early. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I don't know what goes on after hours, but
he wasn't trying to find out.
I wasn't trying to find out. You know, I know my place. You feel? Yeah, I know my place.
Yeah. What it do? It's your boy Stunt Lifestyle, and you are watching the Weird Miami podcast. And today, man, we got the legend in the building, man, and I'm excited because we just had our 2-year anniversary, so it's only right to have the mayor of Miami, the governor of Florida, the multi-platinum artist, producer, and mogul with the first black-owned independent record label in the country. Please welcome the honorable Uncle Lou.
Hey, man. Hey, happy to be here.
How you feeling?
I'm feeling good. You got the right elements. You got pretty women. You got nice drinks. You got a nice setup. I mean, shit.
I appreciate that, man. We outside. You know, we got some beautiful ladies in the building here, too, for you ladies. Let me hear you say hey.
Hey.
Ooh, I like that. I like that. But before we get into it, I got to ask y'all, where we at?
We in Miami.
We in Miami. Now, let's get right into it, man.
Yeah.
You got the new documentary that just came out on Hulu called Freaknik, The Wildest Party Never Told, produced by you, Jermaine Dupri, and 21 Savage. Mm-hmm. That's lit. Can we get a round of applause for that? Congratulations on that, man. That's lit. So what's your inspiration behind the project?
Well, the thing is, you know, I was, about a couple of years, I was getting ready to do a movie biopic on myself with Lionsgate, and then I decided, when I looked at it and we kept going through different scripts and scripts after scripts, it was like it wasn't telling all my stories, you know, it was just telling, you know, it was mostly focusing on one aspect of my life, but then my life is so complex. And so what I did is I kind of told them I didn't want to do that anymore. And so what I went on to do is like break up my whole life into all these different stories. So, you know, a couple of years ago, I did Warriors of Liberty City. That was based on my Optimus program that I started with LeBron James. And then after that, COVID hit. So obviously, you know, I sat down, cut a deal with Swirl Films. And so to actually do all these different projects. And this one here came up, you know, young lady named Nikki Biles and Jay, her brother. You know, we all was sitting there brainstorming about what we're going to do next. And they mentioned, hey, what about Freaknik? You know, you did all these crazy parties and all that. And so that's how the idea came up. You know, after that, you know, we'd start brainstorming more. Wanted to have somebody from Atlanta involved in it. And so we hit up JD to have him be an executive producer. And because me and 21 Savage is cool like that, I do his birthday party every year, and the theme be Freaknik, So, you know, I was like, okay, it makes sense to put him in, you know, with the young generation of people now, have him involved because he vibe on that. And at the end of the day, you know, we just kept building, got to deal with Hulu, Disney, and there it is.
Nice. Hey, man, round of applause to that. He got deals with everybody. So, wait, so how what was it like working with LeBron James?
Work with him, his team, Maverick, all them. You know, with that project, we actually got another project that I'm working with them on. It's can't really talk too much about it, but we just signed another deal with them. We have another project, Smack Entertainment, that's Strahan and Prime and Snoop and all them. We had that deal, and then I have another biopic deal with Will Packer, and then two more films I'm doing. You know, I'm just deep into this film and TV business on the low
key. That's amazing. So you transitioned from music to CEO to now just you getting into these films going crazy.
Yeah, because they never told my story. You know, nobody never told my story. I was like the Rodney Dangerfield of hip hop. So, you know, I looked at it from the standpoint, okay, if you don't tell my story, that is great. I was mad for a lot of years. I was like, fuck the industry, fuck everybody.
Right.
You feel me? Because, you know, I started hip hop in the South. Nobody wants to give me credit for that.
Right. Nah, a lot of people, for y'all people that don't know your history lesson, Uncle Luke is the OG GOAT, man. He is responsible for so many careers. He created a whole genre of music. Like, we're going to get into it. Make sure y'all stay tuned because we're going to take y'all back and we're going to teach y'all a lot. But I want to know, man, for those that don't know, so for this documentary Freaknik, for those that don't know what Freaknik is, can you give us a little lesson, Freaknik 101?
Well, I mean, you know, when you look at the documentary, and by the way, we, after yesterday and now today, we're number one on Hulu.
Turn up, man. That's
yeah, so that's a great
congratulations.
Appreciate it. Yeah. You know, I mean, the documentary is about, you know, a party that most people thought I started, you know, and so, you know, again, little story of mine, you know, basically, I didn't start it. I don't like taking credit for nobody's work. You know, and as you get into the documentary, you'll see that the students that started it, they didn't have any money. You know, they're from the AU Center up there in Atlanta where you got like four colleges connected, Morehouse,
Spelman,
and all those colleges in there. So they didn't have no money to go to Daytona Beach. They didn't have no money to go to Dustin or anywhere else. You know, regular spring breakers go. So they wanted to have a little party, a little picnic, and they started this for other broke college people.
Students,
and they created the party, and so people started coming. And then, you know, I heard about the party, you know, probably a year after. And then, you know, I heard anything that had Freak in it. I feel like I was supposed to be there.
Hey.
It was like, hey, Freak. Oh shoot, I gotta go. But
he
I
got
didn't
the
know.
Freak other freaks, so you know he running the Freak shit. He got to come to Freak.
Definitely on the Freak shit. Yeah.
So you just came in and joined it, and like people thought it like you started.
I thought it was a freaky party,
right?
And it wasn't a freaky party, but
do you think you kind of are responsible for turning it into a freaky party?
Well, I turned it up. Turned the motherfucker up. Ain't no question about that. But you know,
And you shot one of your music videos during Freaknik.
Yeah,
Work It Out.
Work It Out. Then I shot Bounce the Beat there also. So, you know, between my high success at the time, once I let everybody know that I was going down there, so people started coming from miles away. And then every year I would shoot a video. And so the video would picture what was going on. And then more people started coming in before you know it. It became this wild and crazy party. It was organized to a degree. At first, we would do concerts in the parks and all that. Then after parties and end up at 112. And back then, they didn't have no Magic City or anything.
Yeah, that was before all of that.
That was before all that.
That's crazy. It's crazy, man, how Atlanta has grown. And so I got to ask you, what's your craziest Freaknik moment?
My craziest, look at her. She's looking like,
what?
I'm excited to hear this story.
Her mama was good.
Her mama know about it?
Yep, my mom.
Hold on, how old are you?
I'm 28.
You 28?
Yes.
Okay.
She
looked like a baby. I'm about to check her ID in a minute.
Should I tell the story of her mama?
Yeah, tell her the story. What was her mama up to at Freaknik? Your mama was there?
I don't know what she was up to, but I really want to know because she threw the party.
Oh, man. I mean, it's some wild stories, man. I mean, I guess I would say doing chase parties, you know, when it did get bad, you know, we'd have to do these chase parties, you know, similar to if people are familiar with England, you know, when you go to England, you do acid parties. And acid parties, they would get on the phone and tell people, you know, where these parties at. And then everybody would go there. Cops would come in, shut it down. Then you go to another spot, get another phone call.
The party so never stops.
It never stops. So that's what we were doing in Atlanta. You know, when the police come, shut us down, then we'll go to another spot. Right. Then go to another spot after they shut that down. But
and, you know, I know on the documentary at the end, it kind of showed the decline of Freaknik. And speaking of, like, the police shutting it down, it kind of reminds me of how, like, in Miami, because, you know, with Atlanta, the city officials wanted to get rid of Freaknik. I know it was for multiple reasons, Olympics and all of that. But it kind of reminds me of it, Miami right now. How do you feel about spring break in Miami and, you know, the city wanting to cancel it?
Yeah, that's, I mean, that was one of the, you know, one of the unique things about this, which, you know, when I was producing it, you know, it was easy for me to produce, you know, to give you, you know, what you see on the actual documentary, because I lived that every year here. Right. You know, I've written columns about Miami Beach and how the government of Miami Beach is so racist against African-American students. What people don't realize is African-American spring break, you know, is one time a year. It's the end of spring break, somewhere around this time, March. And then you have white college spring break early into the spring. So, you know, they know exactly that black college students will be out on spring break and that they're going to come up with all these measures and all this shit about all these curfews and everything and create a chaotic situation with no programming, you know, and that's what it is. I mean, I don't know of one college student that has the intention to go to a destination on their break, you know, to shoot up someplace, to right. start a fucking riot. You know, no college student thinks like that.
You so
know,
do you think the Miami spring break restrictions are based on race?
No question about it. They're racist as fuck. You know, they
so you think they just don't want, like, black people?
They don't
to
want
down
black
here?
People. There. No, they don't want. Right. I mean, that's a fact.
I kind of, you know, agree.
It's been crazy though, man. Like the prices are going up on parking. They blocked all the streets off. The curfew 12 a.m.
Yeah.
But taxes 30%.
Exactly. I mean, the same way in this documentary that we showed how Atlanta shut it down. They used basically the same playbook. You know, they'll go and you create any chaotic situation where there's no programming or nothing. There's nowhere to put people. You know, there's no clubs. They are restricting the hotels from their pool area. So you got a bunch of people sitting in the middle of a fucking street like South Beach and like Atlanta, and you create gridlock. Now you're going to have the crazies come in, you know, the hood brothers, and they're going to get creative. And before you know it, you're creating a chaotic situation where you then now got to show in the news, oh, these young people are doing all this wild and crazy shit. Black people are animals and all that. And so now you get the community support and shutting it down.
Right.
And that is what they even use that same playbook with gentrification. Mm-hmm. You know, when you look at an area that's been gentrified, it was a crime-ridden area before. Mm-hmm. And then after the crime, then you get the mama house, and then you sell the house and be like, I don't want to stay here no more. Some guy knocking on the door, you know, and you leave. And then before you know it, you know, it becomes gentrified. And, oh, it's so nice to live here in Harlem
right.
and Overtown and all that beautiful shit. So right. they do. I mean, it's the same game plan.
It is.
Yeah.
It
like no, I agree.
It is like a game.
Now, speaking of the city of Miami, I understand you actually ran for mayor of Miami.
Yeah, yeah.
That's crazy. And he got 30% of the vote.
Right. One more time.
Wow.
One time. Yeah.
And you also indicated that you might run for Congress. Is that true?
Oh, who said that?
I saw online they say you might. You thinking about running for Congress?
Oh, well, I haven't made that decision.
Is that too? That would be too much.
Congress, our governor, or something down the line, something. But yeah, I ain't ready to say exactly. I'm still thinking. I'm still thinking about what I'm going to run for.
So,
but you know, it's a lot of moving parts because I got so much shit going on.
Right.
Every time I'm always thinking about running when I see bullshit. You know what I'm saying? I know I can go help.
Right.
Because that's what it's really about, helping the voiceless. You know, people who don't have a voice. I got a platform and a voice. I'm well aware of the issues, you know, so I get pissed off and I'm like, fuck it, I'm gonna run for governor. Fuck it. Right. I'm gonna run for Congress, you know what I mean?
Right.
And so that's why my mind said. So every day, and then the other days, reality hit. Like, yo, motherfucker, you got 5 TV projects and a movie.
You got a lot going on, man. It's like, it's only 24 hours in a day, man. I know it's hard to manage all of that.
But that's that Jamaican in me.
So the people want to know, who would Uncle Luke vote for? Donald Trump or Joe Biden?
Joe Biden, no question about it. Yeah, no, I can't fuck with Trump.
Okay.
I know Trump. But,
Shots fired!
Because I understand all the political candidates come to you for endorsements because of your power and influence in Miami and abroad. And I even saw where Kamala Harris sought out your endorsement when she was running for president. Isn't that right?
Yeah. I went on the road with her, you know, before all the celebrities jumped on her. You know, once they made her vice president, everybody jumped on it. You know, that's how we got that kind of culture of people. Just, you know, I was there, it was just me and her going from city to city, you know, trying to get people to vote for her and calling up other entertainers and shit. And they was, I'm doing something. As soon as she became vice president, you seen all the old pictures of them coming. I'm like, boy, these some fake ass motherfuckers out here. I swear to God, you know, you couldn't get them. But that's just how the world works, you know.
Because I know, and like you said, you know, Trump, I remember reading a story that you actually were, Donald Trump invited you to his West Palm Beach mansion, and you were a guest there, and it was you, Mike Tyson, Eddie Murphy, and you said it was like a little wild situation that happened.
Well, it was a party. You never tell about parties. Like this.
Can you tell us about that party? What went down?
No, some parties you don't talk about. One thing about me, I don't, hey, it'll probably end up in one of my movies or some shit like that. But you don't see.
But you had a good time.
Look at that. See, the girl starts straightening up and shit. Oh, shit.
Like, oh, what kind of party? But you had a good time,
party?
Though. But is it safe to say that, like, Trump knows how to have a good time?
Trump, listen, Trump has a lot. Trump got good taste when it comes to women.
Right.
If you look at, if you really notice him, Trump
really
has
be having a bad
fucking,
what type of
women
did he have over there?
Right.
Trump has some bad bitches.
I want to know, though. I always was curious because I heard
Trump
rumors. Is it true that Trump likes black women? Is that true?
I don't know about all that. I never.
I thought I heard he had like dated like
every
a mixed
white
woman
man like black
girl,
women.
Like,
right. All these white men have been
hello.
Like black women.
In the back, y'all like black women in the back?
Like black women? Shit.
We got a couple of Caucasian brothers in the back. They're like, I like my coffee a little dark.
Shit. That's one thing. I've never been with a white woman in my life.
Really?
Never had sex with a white woman.
No.
Bruh.
Really?
Me neither.
Me neither.
You ain't never like wanted to see what it would be like?
Never wanted to see what it be like. Never.
All right, so if you were.
It's all flavor. I got all flavors. I mean, I got a couple trying, but I don't know.
But if you had to smash one white celebrity, who would she be?
Oh, shit.
If you had no choice. If you had to
Wonder Woman.
She is definitely
go for
hot.
The superhero.
I got a good eye, huh?
Yes.
I got a good eye. Hey, me and you together. Me and you are smashing together, huh? Me and you are smashing together, right?
Now, hold on. Speaking of you ladies, hold on. Can we do an outfit check? We got some beautiful ladies in here. Can y'all stand up, show us a fit? Give them some music. Show Uncle Luke the outfits. Give us some music. No, give me my sexy music. Where's my sexy music at? There we go. Stand up. You see up here. Stand up. Everybody. Yeah. Uncle Luke in the building.
This is like burlesque music.
This that ranch. What's that ranch in Las Vegas? That sound like that kind of music. Now, speaking of ladies, I heard you got a new record with Young Miami coming out.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Hey, round of applause to that. That's going to be lit. Can you tell us about that? Is that dropping anytime soon or what we got?
Yeah, I mean, that is a hot fucking song. I mean, you know, only certain people can get me in the studio. A lot of people try. You know, I tell them, man, just go sample me. And so that's why I'm on so many samples of so many records.
I wonder how many people have sampled music from me.
They sample the shit out of me. My voice is on everybody's record. I go,
right.
in a club and hear my voice on the record. Shit, damn near at least once a month.
Do people call you first or do they just sample it?
Sometimes they'll call and sometimes they'll sample it. Then after they do it, then they'll call. Like, yo, I just want to show you some mad respect and yada, yada, yada.
You ever had someone sample and didn't call and didn't follow up or nothing? And you had to hit them up like, yo, bro, you got my name on there. Give me a check.
Yeah, French Montana.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, that pop that.
Shots fired! Like, Shots fired!
Oh, yeah, pop that.
Yeah, I'm like, hold on. Yeah. That was a little trick story with that. They were like, yo, we want you to come. It was Puff Daddy was like, yeah, we want you to come and be in this video. You know, I ain't on every scene, you feel me?
Right.
I just vibe with my folks. So when people call up all the time, like, yo, come be in a video and all that, I don't just be.
You don't be pulling up unless you want, yeah. Did you party with Diddy a lot?
Oh, no, not really. I would go to the party and leave early.
Why wouldn't you stay? Right?
I go to the party and leave early. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Well, I wasn't invited to too many of those parties.
Why didn't you stay late, like after hours? Crazy after that or what?
I don't know what goes on after hours, but.
He wasn't trying to find out.
I wasn't trying to find out. You know, I know my place. You know, I know my place. Yeah. You know, so I went to a couple, New Year's Eve parties.
Right.
I mean, I know Puff before Puff became super big like that. You know, he's a cool dude. I mean, all the shit going on with him. You know, I feel sorry for him and his family, more right. So his kids.
His kids, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
you got
right,
people
facts.
Got kids involved in this mm-hmm. shit. And, you know, and social media is dangerous. Mm-hmm. You don't know. No, it's always two, three sides of a story.
Right. It's two sides of every story, man. Yeah. Like and that's true. He made a major point. And you can't always believe everything you hear. There are two sides to every story.
Yeah.
So, all right, so back to the French Montana situation. So what happened? So they got the sample, and then what, they hit you with like, yo, pull up, or what happened?
Yeah, so Puff hit me up and said, hey, man, we're doing a video, blah, blah, blah. And then it was, you know, I was out, where was it? I was somewhere. I was on tour. And so they were like, yo, come on by and do the video. I'm like, nah, I'm good. I'm on tour. You know, I don't just pop up in no videos. That's why you don't see me in everybody's video right now.
Right.
You know, and then it was like, nah, we got this special thing we trying to do, but they never told me the song.
Right.
You know, I think they wanted to surprise me more so than anything that they did this song and they wanted to show respect. You know, nah, we got Wayne, we got Drake, we got all these people here and everything. And I was like, I don't give a fuck. You know, it's just not my vibe.
Right.
You know, they all cool people. You know, but I don't just move like that because somebody is someplace. And we'll send a jet and all that. No, I don't need no fucking jets and all that. And so, long story short, after the video was shot, then it was all these articles. I guess they had the press set up. Uncle Luke and French Montana and Drake and Wayne and all them. And then I'm like, I don't know nothing about this fucking song. So people start hitting me. Mm-hmm. You know, like right now, you know, they hit me right now about the Young Miami song and all that. It was the same vibe around the same time. And I was like, I don't know what the fuck that is.
Right.
You know, and that was, you know, and then it became a little, as if it was a little beef. And I was like, yo, bro, I don't have beef with nobody.
Did French Montana look out? Like, did they cut you a check? Did he cut you a check?
No, I ain't want no check. I ain't want no check.
Why not?
If it was done the right way, yeah, we'll negotiate, you know, through people. But I don't want checks like that.
Right.
Yeah, I just let people have shit.
All money ain't good money.
I was about to say. And you know.
Yeah, I let people do certain things certain way.
Right. And now, speaking of the Young Miami, recently Joe Budden made a statement about the future of female rappers. He said that the girl rapper wave is over and that it's over for most female rappers. They ain't selling records no more. What do you think about that? You think that's true? Like the girl wave of rappers?
That's not true. Girl rappers have cemented themselves and their legacy in this business. They got a major fan base, you know, whether it's Ice Spice or Sexy Red or whoever it may be. They got fans.
Yeah,
they
shout out to Sexy Red. We had her on the show. She busted a dope little freestyle.
Yeah.
So you think the females are here to stay? Because, you know, females have been killing it even more than the males these days. Like
they're
in
killing
the game.
They're killing it. Shots you got fired! A bunch of dudes. You know, a lot of dudes. It's too many dudes when you think about it. It is too
oversaturated.
Many. Yeah,
but and they're all talking about the same stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Killing and robbing and
exactly.
But yeah. You know, recent last year, Hitmaker, he had made a statement saying that a lot of the female rappers rap about the same thing, about like freaky stuff, sex stuff.
That's good.
Do you think that freaky or sexual music will ever go out of style? With you being the king of freaky.
I mean, no, it ain't never going out of style. I mean, I go do concerts right now, and it sells out based on the same people who said my shit wasn't going to last.
Right.
I mean, when I was doing the music, oh, that shit ain't going to last. It's sexual music. We want to hear some conscious shit. It's all junk. One thing about music is all areas of music. You know, and that's what I respect. I always learn if you can sell one person a record, you are now in the business.
Right.
If you can't sell a record, then you're not in the business. So at the end of the day, I respect all them women. You know, for what they're doing, their fan base. I respect the fact that they're going out, they're putting on shows, they're entertaining people. You know, and I ain't never one gonna hate on nobody.
Who you think the top three female rappers will be? Who the dopest you think?
Oh man, I won't do that.
You say Nicki, Cardi?
I ain't doing that. I'm not getting into that. I'm not getting into that.
It's a hard, right? It's so many of them.
Why the fuck you did that?
Everybody going to be calling after the podcast like, what?
But you know, recently, Nicki Minaj actually lost a Grammy to Killer Mike. So did Travis Scott, you know, for Bad
Best Rap. I'm not going to lie. I love that. I love that for him.
Well, Killer Mike,
yeah. How they arrested him after?
I saw that.
I didn't want to see no black man win. I hated that. Right. I was like, let him.
So what are your views about that? How do you feel about Killer Mike beating Travis Scott and Nicki Minaj and the other contestants for best hip-hop album in the Grammys?
I'm happy for Killer Mike. I mean, Killer Mike do so much for the culture. He do so much for his people. I mean, he put so many people to work in Atlanta. You know, and as far as the music, the people determine. You know, they vote. You know, one thing about the Grammys, it's not about an individual. You know, if people want something different, they need to vote. You know, and a lot of people don't vote. You know, we just sit back and talk shit. Same way with our politics. You know, people just talk shit and they don't vote.
Right.
And so when all them white people be sitting up in there, that's a part
they
of
be voting.
Of our voting, academy. Yeah. You know, they vote, and so motherfuckers get mad. You know, take your ass in there and vote.
So you don't agree with like people that said that like Killer Mike robbed Nicki Minaj and Travis Scott of that Grammy?
No. I mean, I mean,
and also you had Killer Mike was on the documentary on the Freaknik. He's on there.
Yeah, Killer Mike is my guy. I mean, music is music. You know, to each his own. You know, everybody at this table might like something different.
Right.
You know, and I respect what she likes, her, you, and everybody else in this room. I mean, it's music. That's the beauty of music.
Everybody got their own taste. Yeah.
We could sit up here and argue about who we think top five or who we think top three or who are all greatest of all time, who on the Mount Rushmore. You know, that's based on your choice of music.
So what do you think about Jay-Z's comments about Beyonce never winning Album of the Year at the Grammys? He made a statement at the same show, and he was saying how, you know, she won. Actually, I think Beyonce won more Grammys than anyone. Mm-hmm. But she's never won Album of the Year, which is the highest Grammy you can win. And Jay-Z called that out, and he said that, you know, she deserves the best. How do you feel about
that? No, I think she do deserve it. I mean, you know, Beyonce has done so much for the business, the culture. Even her being the, in my opinion, the top female artist, she deserved that. I mean, she's always, you know, she ain't never sold out. You feel me? She ain't never like, okay, I'm Beyonce, fuck all the rest of y'all. Mm-hmm. You know, that woman always look out. And when you look at some of the things that she's done, even on record, some controversial statements, you know, that she's made on behalf of black people, you know. And so when I look at things like that, you know, I highly respect that. You know, and again, Jay is going to defend his wife, which is, you know, that's what a man's supposed to do.
Right.
You know, you see your wife leave without the shit, you know, and you know she deserve it. You know, you see somebody else leave with the shit, you know, you know, you got to stand up for her.
Right,
you
know? Facts. That's true.
You know, and I respect that.
Now, you a while back, you called out Jay-Z a few years back for choosing J-Lo and Shakira for the Super Bowl halftime show, saying that it should have gone to Pitbull, Flo Rida, and Rick Ross. What do you think about Usher's halftime performance this year?
I mean, when I called out Jay for that, and me and him had a conversation, you know, we sat down and had...
So did Jay call you like, yo, Luke, why
yeah,
you say that,
man? Yeah, that's my
dude.
I fuck with him. You know, that's my
How
dude.
Does a conversation with Jay-Z work? Like, that's... Because, you know, they always say, do you want the half a million or the dinner with Jay-Z? Like, how does the conversation...
Which one y'all want? The half a million
Which y'all choose? $1 million or dinner with Jay-Z?
I would do dinner because you get to interact with someone and you get to know who they are as a person.
What about you?
Honestly?
Dinner or $1 million?
For real, look, I'm from the Bronx. He's from Brooklyn, right?
Right.
I'm choosing the $1 million. Come on, you know.
Okay, so
then eventually I can have dinner with him. Eventually, I'll be
right, right, right. What about you? Yeah. What you choosing?
I'm definitely choosing the $1 million. Shout out to Jay-Z though.
For real,
come on. Hold on. What would you choose since you didn't already be talking to him?
Me? I mean, we talk all the time.
Yeah. I mean, we're gonna take
the
time, that million,
then.
Yeah,
right. Yeah.
So you would take the million?
No. We ain't even having that kind of conversation.
But what is a conversation with Jay-Z like, though? Like,
I mean, just
Brooklyn.
Like anybody else.
Yeah, right. I met Jay when he was just hanging out with Biggie. Mm-hmm. You know, when he was one of the guys in the back.
That's dope.
That's crazy.
Dope.
This is
right?
A fucking
that's,
OG that's right here. Y'all don't
that's
even
dope.
Know.
Yo, you be walking
Y'all don't even know who we talking to
For
right
real.
Now.
We don't, but it's okay. We're
so
learning.
So I know when he first started and Big was like, yo, that dude is going to be the shit. You know what I'm saying? And so.
Wait, Biggie told you that Jay-Z is going to be big.
Yeah. Oh, I was doing this show called The Peep Show. Similar to this. Way back then.
Did you think he was going to be as big as he is now?
If Biggie said it, I mean, one thing about certain artists, some of us, we know who got that it. Mm. You know a motherfucker who got that it.
Yeah.
Like when I discovered.
You got that eye, you can tell talent.
God give us that gift. Like right. When I discovered Pitbull, I know he had that it.
Right.
When I found Trick Daddy, I know he had that it. Right. H-Town, I know they had that it. Two Live Crew, and I, God gives us that ability to be able to know good artists, great artists, from not so great.
Right.
You know, he knew he had that it, so he was like, "Can you interview him?" You know, I had a big time show, like you have a big time show, and it was on Action Pay.
So you interviewed Jay-Z.
Yeah, you never saw the interview?
I got to look that up.
Oh,
I got to
look
that
up.
I'm about to, after this show, I'm going to watch that.
I'm tapping in for sure.
You got to see that interview.
I know that's wild. Now, you mentioned when you discovered Pitbull and when you discovered Trick Daddy. Now, you know, recently Fat Joe took credit for discovering Pitbull and Trick Daddy. So
yeah, and he walked that back.
How you feel about that?
When he said it,
was that cap? Like, did he really discover them, or
no,
did you like?
Fuck no, hell no. no, at all, absolutely no.
Because he responded to you and he was like, "I said what I said."
No, we got on one of those lives on Instagram. He was like, "Nah, I don't mean it like that. I mean, I did some work with them after. No, fuck no."
He had to renege.
Yeah. No. You know, and that's the thing. That is the thing. You know, some people say things, but then, you know, in a setting, they will say things, and then, motherfuckers are still living. And you know, a nigga like me, I ain't got no problem with speaking my word.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I get right on that shit and go to, hey, hold the fuck on. No.
So to set the record straight. Uncle Luke discovered Pitbull.
Yeah.
I believe it.
And
it's
Trick Daddy.
No question about it. I mean, shit. Pit was in Opa-locka, with cornrows and braids and shit in his head. Ain't nobody was fucking with him.
Yeah,
wait,
dude.
Pitbull?
Pitbull.
So this Pitbull before he was bald, like he had braids. Damn.
I'm trying to vision that. I'm trying to
That's the original
right?
Pitbull
oh,
right
too.
There.
I'm trying to picture it.
Y'all been sending the pictures?
Yeah.
I got all photo shoots and shit. Please. See, that's when you discover somebody. You got photo shoots and you got recordings when you
back
went in
the
studio.
Yeah.
You
know, versus, he pulling out the receipt.
Versus saying that, you know.
Are there any other artists like off the record that you like played a part in the success of their career that maybe people don't know about?
It's, you know, quite a few people. I mean, Kool and Dre used to be interns.
Oh, wow. Really? Kool and Dre, that's
cool. Kool and Dre Studio.
Yeah. And so, I mean, a lot of, I mean, Khaled was on the underground radio station. I got him off the underground station and brought him to 99 Jams.
Hold on. So you put DJ Khaled on?
Yeah, look at his book.
Oh,
yes,
shit. Can we get a bomb on that?
Just chilling in the clubs back in the day.
No, Khaled's my guy. I love Khaled.
So hold on. He's taking it right here. Uncle Luke put on DJ Khaled. Y'all hear it right here.
Oh, he'll tell you that. I mean, Khaled. But again, Khaled, when you looked at Khaled, I mean, back then, you knew he had that it. You know he's going to be great at doing something.
You know, it's funny you say that, man, because I saw a video recently that went kind of viral of DJ Khaled from back in the day. He was at a gas station, and he was giving some people in a car like a flyer, and he was like, yeah, come check this out. We the best. He was screaming the same thing. Yeah, we the great. And they were just looking at it like, okay, whatever, you know. And then it's like, boom, look at him now. Blew up. You never know, man. Like, that's what I'm saying. That's why you got to have that confidence. You got to know that you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You either have it or you don't.
Oh, shit. Like, Khaled, like I say, I love Khaled to death. I love what he's doing. You know, his family, everything. You know, and when you saw him, like you say, it wasn't like he was in the business. He was doing his DJing thing. He was great at that. And, right. You know, I put him on the radio, and then became DJ Khaled on the radio, and then he blew up from there. But he made his own. He made himself.
He inserted himself into that footwork, that groundwork.
Yeah, right. Let me tell you, if there's anybody that's, you know, a guy who got that kind of grind, I mean, I got videos of when I did those little documentaries, some little peep shows and freak shows. We got videos of Khaled used to hustle cell phones.
Wow.
Brick phones and shit. Wow. You know, the burnout phone.
Yo, I got this phone for sale.
Man, Luke.
We the best. This the best cell phone.
Khaled can sell fucking ice the Eskimos. I mean, but he got a fucking great heart. When I tell you, you know, and you probably had to ask him, but now one person, Joe, I know for a fact, took under his wing, but Khaled.
Wow.
Took him. I don't know for a fact, but I know Khaled learned a lot about the business from Joe. You know, because you look online,
you always see Fat Joe with DJ Khaled.
Yeah, even back then, when you look at when they would come, he would be always with Joe, and Joe was at his peak at that time back then. You know,
so Joe kind of helped him. You think?
Yeah. You know, you get with a team, and you vibe with them, and then you hustle, and yeah, you learn.
Do you feel like a lot of people out here like owe you checks? Like any of these artists, you feel like they owe you?
They owe me nothing. No, ain't nobody owe me nothing. You know what I mean? Nobody owes nobody.
I feel like everybody. I feel like everybody in Florida owed Uncle Luke a check. I only like.
He's so humble about it.
He put on Florida.
He's so humble about it.
He put Florida on.
Yeah.
Nah, they don't no checks. I mean, the thing is, I just love to see people win. You feel me? You know, if you win, if she winning, she winning.
It's good karma, though. It come back to you, man. You blessing other people, putting them on.
Exactly. That's what it's all about, man. Ain't no, you know, hey, look, I come do your show and, you know, and y'all give me an opportunity to talk about stuff. And you get the ladies' opportunities. They all say they're artists. And one day they may blow. And then at the end of the day, it's like, it's just respect. Hey, thank you.
That's do you still put people on? Are you still open to like putting people on?
Well, to a large degree, I'm always teaching. You know, I coach football. I've been doing that. That's my getaway from everything. I could turn the fucking phone off. As far as this movie, TV stuff that I'm doing, people get put on. Music wise, once I kind of settle down and with these different projects, then I'm gonna go back. Start doing more music and put more artists on, because that's really my gift.
Who besides yourself do you think is the king of Miami? Top rapper.
Beside myself is the king. Ooh. See, y'all be asking these questions and try to get me in trouble.
Everybody gonna be calling him.
That's the number one question the fans wanted to know. Hey, that's not my question. That's what they wanted to know.
That's fucked up. You didn't say me. you said Flo. You said Trick. You said Trina, you said this way. Why you ain't say this? Why you? Yeah,
shout out to Trina. Well, yeah. We interviewed her. She's real. I love Trina.
Shout out to Flo.
Shout out to Flo Riley.
Yeah. I mean,
and personally, for Uncle Luke, who would you consider the king of Miami besides yourself?
Let me tell you the real talk. All of them do things for the community in their own unique way. And that's what I like about them, you know, because that's how I always been. When you think about Flo got a youth football league. Do so much for kids. When you think, you know, through him and Freezy, his brother-in-law and all that, and then you look at Trick, do love the kids. He always doing something. He always involved with kids.
Same and speaking of that, you've been involved a lot in the community, positive change and growth in Miami, and you have an organization, the Liberty City Optimist. So we got to talk about that. But it's funny that you mentioned that, like, beyond the music, like, what are they doing for the community?
That's because what you're in order
being
to
a king, it's about impact. You know, it's funny. Exactly. It's not just really about music or numbers or how many view count, you know. So who would be your top five? Is that easier?
Man,
top five
this
easier?
This man good here. Let me put
top five. I know he said Flo Rida. He said Trina.
Let me put it this way. Let me put it like this, right? Let me put it like this. Okay. I judge people in my own personal way. I judge people based on a tree.
Right.
You know, you look at a tree, you're the body. You have the body, you have the foundation, and then
you got the roots, yeah.
Then you have the branches.
Leaves, yeah, the branches.
So if you got a lot of branches with your people that you put on, you feel me, that's on your tree, then that's how you should be judged.
Right.
But if you only put yourself on, you know, and it's all
it's
about
different,
you,
yeah.
You know, then you can't selfish. Even be in a conversation.
It's kind of even like Jay-Z, how he said, I made more millionaires, like, and he was naming, like, a lot of the millionaires that he made, because it's funny, because like you said,
you always gonna get
that's
paid.
A lot of big artists, and I noticed that a lot of the artists that really transitioned and that were able to stay hot, they work with other artists and give new artists a shot.
Yeah.
Like, if you look at certain artists, you know what I'm saying? So it's funny, like you're saying, who's really putting people on out here?
Who's really putting people on? If it's all about you and you ain't got no tree,
right.
You know, my tree deep. I mean, I can sit there all day and talk about all the people that's on my tree, and they all,
that foundation,
you know, they all call up, you know, hey, look, what's up, dog? You know, and ask questions all the time, you know, and I give them a good knowledge and good conversation.
Right. So we gonna roll with everybody is different. We gonna put you on the spot. Like, oh, you gotta tell us a topic. It's too many. You got everybody in Florida.
It's gonna be blowing up after this.
how you feel about the new cats though? Like
these
new cats coming out.
Man,
like
I like them. I like a lot of the music. I don't ask me names. If you play songs, I'll be like, yeah, I can sing that song, but there's so many fucking names.
Same.
There's a whole bunch of young guys and young boys, and these, they got
babies.
The same names and shit, everybody baby.
It's
and
true,
everything. I'll be like, what the fuck? I can't keep up with this shit. But then I love a lot of it. That's all I listen to. I'm all over the place, man. I sit there and listen to rock and roll. Mm-hmm. You know,
how I am. You got a crazy playlist, though.
I, man, yeah. My phone. You see my shit.
Yeah. Right.
What the fuck? Yeah.
Country.
So.
I love that Beyonce's doing that country.
No, I love that.
Love
a lot
it.
Of people were being critic about that. Mm. Like, Beyonce's doing country.
But that's nothing new.
I love that.
Yeah, like, you switch it up.
Yes.
She for the girls.
Right.
Let them know you could do it, too.
Rich roots.
We could do it,
like,
too.
Come on.
I love that.
And artists always fuck around with everything. You know, they'll catch a vibe and they'll sing country all day.
Tell me, like, you know, why do they try to make that a big deal that black people are doing country? That's nothing new. Who invented the banjo?
I feel like we invented it. Black people invented
every
country.
Every form of country.
If you think about it.
I like that, too. I still rocking the Tim McGraw, Nelly song over and over again.
Yes.
Shout in my head.
I love that.
I like that shit. You fuck with Nelly?
My favorite song is All My Exes Live in Texas.
yeah, I heard that. But you know, a lot of the young cats, man, they not really seasoned to the business like you. Because you, what was unique about you, when you came in, you had your own label. And, you know, doing research on you, it was surprising to me to see that you had the first black independently owned record label in America. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
So that means you had the label before Master P and you know, Birdman and all these guys, you know, like you were the original.
Don't play with Uncle
God.
Luke.
Exactly. So do you feel like you opened the door for like Birdman and Master P?
Well, the thing is, shit, I tried to sign Master P. He had a song called Ice Cream Man.
Oh, I remember that one.
Yeah, I tried to sign
him. So he was unsigned. He was
doing his own thing. He was like, no, fuck that shit. I want to be like you. I'm doing my own shit. I'm like, let's go.
That's crazy.
The thing is, when I was doing it, it was, again, that's why, you know, most people credit me for starting hip hop in the South. It was nobody doing hip hop in the South. You couldn't get signed. A&R, our record label, was not going to sign a rap artist, rap group from the South. So you had to basically do it yourself.
Wow.
And so creating hip hop in the South, you know, we inspired a lot of people, because then I had to be the entrepreneur. I had to own the record company. I had to manufacture the product. I had to market the shit.
How did you get money to like start a label? Were you in the streets? Like, did you have like street money? Or?
Because
I'm like, you know what I mean? Like, Master P, he had a little, he was like, yo, I had a little, you know what I mean? Birdman. How did you have money to like?
You probably had to see the other Striptease series.
We got to watch the other series. Okay. That's a different, that's a different documentary. Okay.
But I mean,
wait, was you a P? Was you a P?
I DJ.
Okay.
I DJ. No, not a pimp. No, don't.
You didn't pimp? Okay.
No,
okay.
Yeah.
I mean, he had the girls. Come on, Uncle Luke. Like,
all right.
No. Come
Luke
on.
Does not condone pimping, guys.
Even if he didn't, even if he wasn't a P, he was still a P.
No,
he had it on top.
Let me tell you, I always pride myself on paying all the girls.
Okay.
I put girls on, and that's another thing with people.
He put on the girls too, not just celebrities.
Yeah,
he put girls on.
When they go back to the strip club and they're Luke dancing, that's like being a Playboy dancer.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So they get all the money because they're on the video and things like that in their profession. But at the end of the day, nah, I can't do that. I can't vibe with that. I'm all about everybody trying to make a bag, but I can't be managing no girl. I can manage an artist, not girls.
But I mean, even like
that's
managing,
what pimps do.
Right? But managing a label, like, people don't understand the amount of work that comes into it. Like, they, you know how they say, never sign to an artist because the artist will never want you to be bigger than them and all of that, and sign an artist. Mm. But you being an artist, producer, like everything, like that, that's not easy to run a label, especially being the first one to do it.
It's not. I mean, and when I started the label, you know, hey, a little bit of money here, but then I mainly got most of my money from DJing because I was the top DJ in Miami. My parties would do anywhere from, you know, 5,000-6,000 people on a weekend at different venues.
Wow.
I did that. So I took that money. I took that money and invested into doing concerts and shit. I was the first person to bring hip-hop to Miami, bringing artists down from New York. And, you know, from that, then I then got into the fucking music business. And then from the music business, again, not having the big budget like the major labels back then, it wasn't no streaming. It wasn't none of that.
This was before all of that, yeah.
It was cassettes. It was before CDs.
I think that was a beautiful time for artists, man. There was so much money to make. It's like you can't really judge. Like, when we interviewed Busta Rhymes, he was saying, like, how can you really judge the streaming pay rate? It's like you can't even really, it's not like a real amount. It's just weird. Like,
people paying for streams and shit nowadays.
Yeah.
It's not organic.
You know, it's not, back then you had a record, you know, and I had to manufacture this shit, you know, so I know all aspects of the business. That's why I be laughing when a lot of people, you know, credit themselves as real record companies. They're really not. They're subsidiaries of a major record company.
Right.
You know, when you gotta go press that shit, and you gotta put it in the back of your trunk, then you gotta go take it to the distributor, take it to the local distributor,
then
put it on a boat, a bus, and put it in a yellow freight, one of them freight trucks and shit. You know, that's when you fucking record company.
Right.
And the margin of money back then was a lot more. I would make a record for 13 cents and sell it for $2.20.
Right.
So look at the numbers on that.
And keep in mind, this back in the day. So like the money is different. Like $1 million back then is not what it is now. Like, so that's $2 is like, to now, what would that be? More like $5 these days, you know, more.
Yeah,
like
inflation
is crazy.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know it was rumored that you actually sold the 2 Live Crews catalog for a rumored $500,000. Is that true back in the day?
No. hell no, $500,000. It'd have been more than that. I actually, what happened with me is I had, back then I was sampling everybody. We were doing all these samples without clearing the samples. Major samples, sample this, sample Full Metal Jacket, Me So Horny, off the movie and all that shit. And so I had a shitload of lawsuits. And then
how many lawsuits did you get?
Man, at one point I had like probably 30 lawsuits.
30? Damn. 30 lawsuits?
Yeah. Don't play with Uncle Lou.
That's crazy.
And so at the same time, I'm fighting for free speech. I'm going to the Supreme Court.
Right, and for the people too that don't know, he's the reason that they created the parental advisory. He fought for artists and
free speech.
You created, created the parental. You know how the CDs have the parental. He's the original. Yeah, that's crazy.
They should be paying me for that shit.
That's dope. That's
the worst
dope.
Thing I didn't do in business was copyright that. Right. But again, I got all these lawsuits, so I actually went Chapter 11, bankruptcy, which is a reorganizational plan. Mm-hmm. You know, where you can get rid of all the fucking lawsuits and still be making money.
Right.
Versus 7 and all that. And then I got rid of a bunch of friends because they didn't know the difference between a Chapter 7 and a Chapter 11.
Right. And by the way, guys, just so you understand, filing bankruptcy was actually created for rich people. So I don't know if people don't understand that. it's for this rich people to get out of paying this shit, their bills. Right. Like, a lot of people don't understand that. Yeah. A lot of Donald Trump filed bankruptcy. Yeah, sometimes. Like, billionaires filed bankruptcy. It's not invented for poor people. Yeah. It's for people. You know what I'm saying? Like, but, you know, that's another topic.
Yeah, if you
but,
do 7 or some shit like that, right, now you broke.
It's different. It's different levels to bankruptcy. Yeah.
So I got rid
of. So you filed to get out of all of that lawsuits.
To get rid of all the lawsuits. And then I had a bad deal with a record label. That my first deal with a record label. And I wanted to get out of that. So you got to reject that in the bankruptcy and then start over. So that shit is put all the money, put everything in this one bag. And then the money that you're making, you start getting that money. You ain't got to really pay all those suits and let them cram down and take that. So I lost in the bankruptcy. Those guys wanted to go with another record guy. And then I'll say majority wins. And so just take all the shit.
So you were forced to sell your publishing at that time?
No. They went with the other label and I gave them everything.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm on that. You know what I'm saying?
You didn't sell your publishing?
No. Oh, so they purchased it in bankruptcy. Mm. They purchased everything in bankruptcy. And they went with this guy. And at the end of the day, they went with him. They didn't sell no music. H-Town was with me. They went with this one company. They didn't sell no music. So at the end of the day, all them dudes who just turned their back on me, you know, when I was in that situation, when we all were doing it, you know, hey, look, I'm sitting up there laughing. Like, I'm going to find out who my true friends are. I'm going to find out what artists really fucking with me. And dudes jumped off the boat and that's
a lot of people disappeared.
Yeah, and
you know, it's funny how people your friends like, and then like something go down. And
that's when you find out. And so it's because people don't realize what it is, but then the people who stayed was Trick Daddy and fucking Pitbull. They were right there. Fuck that shit.
How your relationship with Trina? Round of applause.
Trina, that's my girl. I love her. I mean, Trina is, we raised Trina. Man. Trina, my stepdad, Mr. Wonderful. That was in the neighborhood. That was a spot that I used to be at on a regular basis. Her stepbrother was, you know, like still is one of my personal friends, you know, and we know her since she was a little girl running around.
Right.
That's like my little sister.
You know, but back to what you were saying about the court stuff, man, like it can get crazy, you know, when, you know, recently it's been just like a lot going on, like the movement about, you know, prosecutors using artists' lyrics against them in court cases. You know, for example, like Young Thug. What are your views on that?
Man,
indictment, you know, that can be based upon lyrics.
Yeah, I have a problem with that because, you know, when you open up a can of worms, what ends up happening is, in that can of worms, then they use it for every other case. And that's why when my album was deemed obscene by a federal judge, it wasn't that I was going to jail. I went and said, and I could have left it.
And they, for the people that don't know, they were trying to ban all of your music because they said that it was too vulgar back then.
Yeah. They did that to you? Damn. Yeah.
His case was like internationally known. It was the biggest story. Like, they tried to ban him for his free speech for his music, and he fought and you won.
Yeah, no, they actually did ban me. They did get a ruling to say this album is deemed obscene, and they started taking it.
That's what happens when you're a powerful black man with a platform.
That's crazy. That's what happens. Yeah, exactly. And so when they did that, I had to go back in and overturn it. I could have left it on the books. And if I left it on the books, all the girls that you see rapping now, all the guys before that, they would have been able, they would have had case law to be able
to be able to do
it. So you basically paved the way to be able to have your Sexy Reds and you know, a lot of this music.
So without him, we wouldn't have none of this music if we think about it.
They would have shut that shit down.
Do you think they going too hard on Thug? You think they should free Young Thug?
I don't know too much about the case. You know what I'm saying? But I know you shouldn't be prosecuting with lyrics. Right. Because if you do that, once you open that can of worms and they allow that to happen with one person,
they're
going to do it to everybody. And that's going to be their way of stopping
hip-hop.
That's
the example. Right. They're making an example.
Now they're going to then determine who you should be listening to. Oh, fuck that. We got case law. We can fuck with you. We don't like what you're saying. And that's the way they'll go about censoring. Like
I know you've been very involved in the community. Can you tell us a little bit about your organization?
Oh, man. My first check was to buy my mom a house. My second check was to start my youth program because, I was a kid that played football and I was bused to Miami Beach to play, and I think they was using me and my other friends. And we get home late at night, 11 o'clock at night. So I didn't want that to happen to no other kid from my community if I ever got 2 cents over my lunch money. So we started the program, Liberty City Optimist, and you know, we got tons of successful people that came out of it. We got probably more NFL players of any
Did you get LeBron involved in that?
Huh?
Did you get LeBron James involved? Yeah, round of applause for that.
As far as the series that we did, we partnered up and did a doc series based on the Optimist program.
Do you have any regrets?
Oh no, no regrets at all.
You don't regret nothing?
No, not at all. I mean, everything I did, I thought about it. I thought I was doing the right thing, whether I made a mistake or not. I take my negatives and I turn them into positive. And I know you need negative and positive to create energy. So, you know, I don't let no negative. I don't let nothing get me down. I love hate. I love negativity.
You need all of it. There's no love without hate. There's no hate without love. Like,
if you ain't hating,
dumb.
You ain't popping.
Right.
Exactly. I mean, in order to cut that light on, you're going to need two wires. You're going to need a negative.
Everything
and a
is negative. That's funny. He said that. Everything is negative and positive in life. When you plug something into an outlet, like he said, there's one side negative, one positive. There's no positive without negative, no negative without positive.
You need
it all. It's balance. That's energy. What advice would you give to any young brothers or sisters that want to get in the music industry or want to even get into the TV industry?
Trust yourself. I mean, every one of those artists that we talked about that I work with, you know, they had their own hustle. They had their own grind. You know, they believed in themselves first.
All the people you discovered, you knew they had it. You saw it.
They knew they had it. And they had the confidence. Mm-hmm. Because when you got that it, you got to have confidence in yourself. You feel me? And a lot of people, you know, a lot of people don't have confidence in their ability in themselves, and then they sit there and they wait for somebody to give them a handout. No, it's a slow grind.
Right.
If you get one friend that like your song, then that friend gonna tell another friend. You know, it's almost like that commercial.
People want overnight success. They don't understand. Yeah, like, I'm sure you work years. Like, it's not easy getting to where.
Slow grind because you know the artist that I had that just got hot as soon as I put it out and they sat on top of the mountain. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody drops. I mean, you're gonna, even in a relationship, you're gonna have a bad time, you know, but if you know how to grind to get up that hill, you know, and you always know how to get back up the hill.
Right.
You feel me? And so that's the advice I tell people. Let it be a slow grind. There ain't nothing wrong with it being a slow grind. Just believe in what you are. And what you love, believe in yourself, number one.
Absolutely.
You know, trust yourself.
Hey, man, round of applause to that. Round of applause to the legend. Now, guys, he got the Freaknik movie, documentary that just came out on Hulu. This guy is a freaking freak king. Like, this guy paid the way. We got a little surprise for you. Come on up here. Let's do some Freaknik. Let's get it going. Come in the camera. Come get in here.
Okay.
Oh.
Hey.
Thank you.
Hey.
Hey.
Go, go,
hey.
Go, go, go.
1, 2, 3, 4
She cute.
Yeah.
I feel fucked up right now. I ain't got no ones.
Hey.
Damn, I can't stop.
Hey.
We got hundreds.
Yeah. She deserves it.
Miami.